Now, we've chatted on the show a few times about the challenge of being a recovering alcoholic during the isolation of lockdown. And it's a real challenge. Of course, you know, the lockdown's been a challenge for everybody, but particularly for people who have an addiction. I'm joined now by Noel Cunningham up in Donegal, who's been sober for 25 years now, Noel, is it?
Yes, good afternoon, Ray, and good afternoon to your listeners. Coming up that, yes, indeed.
Yeah, and would you know now, you know the day and everything and the date?
You know, when you get sober, the way it happens is that when you look back, there's a kind of a fog, a kind of an, you know, a lack of clarity as to exactly what happened that day or that week or that month. I always say that the hangover of sort of getting sober when you're a recovering alcoholic takes probably 6 or 8 months.
Right.
I can certainly pinpoint the reason, you know, that I decided, oh my God, I am really at my rock bottom. But I wouldn't be entirely sure on dates and times because, as I said, you're in a kind of an alcoholic haze.
Yeah. And you lost your sister and your brother-in-law or husband in a car accident. And then a year later, it was the anniversary. And their daughter, your niece, said something to you.
Absolutely. Because the alcoholic is devious and cunning, and you spend your entire time. I remember at my sister and her husband's funeral, you know, you were trying to figure out how are you going to get your drink, how are you going to avoid being detected, etc., etc. And in a lot of cases, you think that you're fooling other people, but in fact, you're not fooling anybody but yourself. And then a year later, I came home for the anniversary mass. And my niece Tanya, we were having a little get together after the mass, because remember, Tanya and some of her siblings and that, they weren't even at the funeral because they were injured in the car crash as well. And she asked me to come down the back of the area. We were having a little bite to eat. And she said, Uncle Noel, she says, you need to sort yourself out. And those were the only words she uttered. And I'm telling you, until the day I die, and since those words were spoken, I don't think there was ever a more potent arrow shot across my bows.
Yeah.
And I will be ever grateful to her.
And what age was she? No.
Oh, Tanya was very young. All the children were very young. You know, they were all sort of a school or just out of school. Or,
okay, yes. Yeah.
You know, they were all... She wasn't an adult. No, you wouldn't class... You know, my goddaughter was very, very young, Tanya's sister.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. They were young people just about to start off in life and do marvellous things, yes.
Yeah, and it's more potent coming from a younger person, I think.
Yes, you are absolutely right, because probably the potency was highlighted and made more acute by the fact that, my God, I've spent all my time trying to fool adults around me in my work,
yes,
in my daily life, my relatives. I never thought of the children. The children, they're not supposed to know about things like this.
No, children can spot things.
Yes.
Particularly around drink, because when they see somebody that they know in an altered state, it's very obvious to them, and it's an ugly thing. They don't like it at all.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's still day by day, Noel, is it?
Yeah.
Is that exhausting?
No, it's not. Because I always consider myself very lucky. I consider that in any aspect of our lives, if we don't have a certain amount of gratitude in our lives, we kind of lead empty lives. We have to be aware of just how many wonderful things happen in our daily lives. When you're an alcoholic, you are so grateful, or you should be, in order to maintain sobriety, that you get up in the morning and that you see the morning and that you're able to face into the day without fear, without anxiety. Right. And that the real secret is that you only in that day worry about that day, because in Ireland we have that kind of unhealthy relationship with alcohol. And if you're going to a family wedding, you'll meet a relative in the street and say, oh, are you going to the wedding? Well, have a right old piss up. And then you get to think, oh my God, what will I do at Christmas? I won't be able to have a drink. I won't be able to have a bottle of wine. Oh, what am I going to do at that celebration in the family? My mum's 80th or whatever. I won't be able to drink. All of those things are detrimental detrimental to your sobriety and to your recovery. So the secret to try and live in the moment, in the day. Tomorrow will look after itself. Yeah. And
but it's important. It's important to say, Noel, that you're well capable of having fun.
Absolutely.
And you've had a lot of fun over the last 25 years sober.
Absolutely. And that is such an important message to get out there. And Cathy Donaghy, when she asked me to do that piece in the weekend papers, it was very important for me that just because you're an alcoholic, first of all, that you overcome that awful stigma, because there is a bit of a stigma. You hear family in discussions sometimes, or friends, and out of the blue they'll refer to somebody, and somebody will say in a very disparaging, unkind way, actually you wouldn't mind that, that person's an alcoholic. You know, it's really painful and hurtful, you know, and just that kind of battle that you're fighting, and that you just have to realize that in every aspect of your day that you're kind of in control. And if you're going to meet friends, you know, there's no point in pitching up in a bar or a restaurant halfway through whatever's happening, because you're kind of at a loss then. If you're going to enjoy, you better be in with them from the beginning, and you lift with them, and you can live and you can enjoy. My day is full. My day is fun. I have a lot of laughter in my life. I have huge support from family and friends, but I'm ever conscious of the fact that there are people out there, particularly in lockdown, who've suffered tremendously, who are suffering.
We'll talk about them in a moment. I'm just, you mentioned there that you face into the day without fear.
Yes.
Because does that exist for alcoholics, a fear of drink, you know?
Yes. And Ray, I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, having made sure that the previous night I hadn't drank everything in the house, and that there would be at least one bottle of white wine, or maybe two bottles that I could start on right away.
Right.
That you would have that couple of hours in the morning. You feared waking because you feared what was going to happen. You feared the reality because you knew what was going to happen. And then your entire day is spent in fear that you're going to be caught out.
And you've no fear now about having another drink?
Thank God.
No.
From the moment I stopped drinking, and I attribute that every recovering alcoholic needs some sort of higher power. That might be a spiritual sort of entity, or it might be a friend, or it might be some invisible power that they, or some spot that they go to when they need support. I just know in myself that since the day I put the cork in the bottle, that I can go to a celebration. I can do my work in Harvey's Point, where I'm mixing socially with people who are having a good time all the time. And my sort of bits that I do on TV and radio, you're always with people who are in a kind of a celebratory mood. And if you're staying overnight, you might say, oh, let's go for a bite to eat and a glass of wine. I can do all of those things. And it's very important to say that life goes on. You can have a wonderful life. In Ireland, we have this damn thing that we can't live unless we have, you know, a line of glasses in front of us on the counter.
Yeah. I hope that's changing. I do hope it's changing. So talk to me about, because you use the 12-step program, and I know that's a community, and it's a very supportive community, and people within that community reach out to each other. And have people reached out to you now during lockdown?
Very much so, because look, the big crisis we're in at the moment is that in rural Ireland, you've a lot of people who are trying to sort of get off drink or become sort of lead a more normal life without alcohol. These are people, in some cases, that are older. They're older than me. They would not be au fait with Zoom and, technology. And even if they were, for me, for example, it's no good for me to sit in front of a screen in order to help me maintain my sobriety. I would have to work very hard at that. What I need is to go to a meeting, have a cup of tea with a few afterwards, arrange to meet someone maybe in the town the next day for a quick cup of coffee, or somebody who needed a wee bit more support that you would make time for them. Maybe just hold their hand, give them a hug. I'm a hugger anyway, but you know, that presence, that physical presence and consolation and support is so vital
and
in
it's
recovery.
Gone. And it's gone now for
and
the last 14 months.
Yeah. And remember, some of the AA meetings are now beginning to start up again and some have already started. But the problem you have there as well, sometimes because we're kind of, you know, overcome with negativity about COVID, people are a little bit anxious and nervous about going into a closed room, and sometimes even the social distance in an AA meeting is very challenging because we've always been outcasts. We've always felt isolated. We've always been unable to be honest, and that's why I don't do any of these sort of kind of articles or speak to you from a personal, for an egotistical point of view, because I love listening to myself. I do it because...
No, to help others. I understand that completely.
We need to talk about it.
And I think the message is important that, and I know, as I said at the top of our little chat, that it has been tough for everybody, but particularly tough for people who are recovering from an addiction. And people in their world need to be aware of that and be extra, you know, cognizant of it and help them and be there for them.
Absolutely. And Ray, when I get a call at, you know, 12 o'clock at night, I now leave my phone on. I never did that in recent years, because since I got the call about my sister and her husband's death, I always switch off the phone at night because I was away from home and it was such an awful phone call to get. But now I leave my phone on. And if you can imagine at 12 o'clock at night getting a call from someone saying, Noel, how am I just going to leave that bottle that I bought in the supermarket a few hours ago? How am I going to leave it unopened, you know? And that is a great privilege for me that some or other I can talk to them or even drive round to them and sit on their drive or sit in the car and speak to them through an open window or whatever. It's just sometimes knowing that there's someone there to tell you what you know already, but that you're non-judgmental. And if I've learned anything in my alcoholism recovery phase of my life, I've learned to be less judgmental.
Yeah.
I've learned that, you know, we take so much for granted. The thing that I took for granted so powerfully was my invincibility, my you know, my sobriety. My God Almighty, I will never take anything for granted again. Mm. And certainly in lockdown, I realize how fragile for some people normal life is, but for an alcoholic in lockdown and with the pressure of the last year, it's particularly acute and particularly critical that we as a nation recognize that if there was somebody sitting in our company who was dying from cancer, that we wouldn't be dismissive of them and say, oh, sure, look at him or look at her, she's got cancer. That's what we do sometimes with people who are suffering from alcohol addiction. Mm. We kind of say those things in a harsh way. What we need to do is recognize, I never chose to be an addict. I never chose to be an alcoholic. It crept up on me. I couldn't tell you how, when, where I suddenly was an alcoholic. I remember an aunt of mine saying, she was a very wise lady, she always held that in each one of us there's an alcoholic. It's a kind of an imbalance. And once you feed that imbalance, that chemical imbalance enough, something pops up that needs the feed, needs that.
The other thing is, and you've mentioned it loads of times already, when you're brought up in a society that drink is so prevalent and normalised, it's difficult. It's very difficult. I was thinking the other day...
And also, a very important point there as well, Ray. I mean, alcoholics, we can all pass around the pity pot, and I never do. I really don't. But I do know from my own sort of life that being gay in rural Ireland and some bullying and abuse and that kind of thing that followed me into my early career as well didn't help. And I suppose the message I would have always wanted to get across there is not to use alcohol as the crutch, because the crutch can become the crisis, can become
of course.
The killer. And even today on national radio, I'm sure you've heard some of the reports. I mean, you know, you heard people on speaking from well-known hospitals, you know, they triplicate and four times, five times sort of increase in death from alcohol related is.
Do you know what I was thinking? This is a mad notion I had the other morning. I was out for a run, and I was thinking that every time drink was mentioned, that there should be a health warning with it. Imagine that. Imagine, because it's normalised so much and it's celebrated so much. And I was just watching, you know, reeling in the ears when Barack Obama, and the big shot was him drinking a pint of Guinness down in Moneygall. Like, imagine if there was a caption there, you know, drink sensibly, alcohol leads to 7 different types of cancer, blah, 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 blah. And imagine,
well, I mean, yeah,
imagine every time I mentioned, imagine if I said, I was out last night, had a couple of pints, and then I had to press a button and it says, you know, drink sensibly, alcohol leads to, that would get the message across.
Yeah, and I can so understand when the Queen came to the home of Guinness at the, you know, the Guinness storehouse, that she would have a, you know, a little glass of Guinness. That's
but why, but why, but why, but why?
Yeah, but you could almost forgive that because
but
you see,
but
here's,
but this
Guinness
is the thing, but Noel, we're not going to get into now.
The thing that every head of state, yeah, or every prominent person that comes to Ireland or St. Patrick's Day, we have to get that bloody picture with them with a pint in their hand. And as you say, it's that unhealthy relationship we have with alcohol that life revolves around it, and we need it. And that's why the recovering alcoholic thinks with some justification that if I really try hard to get sobriety, that my life has come to an abrupt end.
Yes, yes, but it hasn't. That's the thing. It
absolutely
starts.
Not.
It's your life started 25 years ago. And the real Noel Cunningham flourished and blossomed.
And you know what, Ray, that is so important to me, because my nephews and nieces didn't know me. They were all born, I was away from home. They only saw this person who came home on holiday, and then they saw the person who was quite clearly drinking. They saw this person who was kind of falling apart, because, you know, everything goes. First of all, you know, you begin to look untidy, then you don't dress properly, then the job is affected, then you lose your car, then you lose your house. Everything goes. Mm. End of story. And just to have an opportunity in life to say, I got my life back all those years ago, that I am now surrounded by the deep love and support of the most wonderful group of young people in my own family and friends. And I have to say, communities as well, they are terrific at reaching out with that support. You know, when you are honest with people and when you're not trying to hide something and you're able to say, here I am an alcoholic, and those are the hardest words you'll ever utter in your life at a meeting.
Yeah, and when you ask for help, you see, it's a brave thing to do, to ask for help, and you, you know, because you're saying, here I am, I'm vulnerable, help
me,
please.
Yeah, especially when it's very clearly in a situation of stigma.
Yeah.
You know, somehow or other, you know, I have a disease. Whatever the roots of that disease, nobody really knows. And I have to commend the AA. I mean, the work they do is extraordinary. And whatever.
And it doesn't work for everybody. You know, there are other ways that, yeah, but it has worked,
you know,
for you,
it
and it works for a lot
for
of people. Yes.
So many.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
yeah,
the glorious thing.
Okay,
and
well, Noel, we're running out of time here. We'll chat about this again, because I just get a sense that people want to talk more about this.
And
that things
time
are changing. Yes.
And maybe COVID has brought us to that realization as well.
Yes. Noel Cunningham, we didn't get a chance to talk about hospitality or Donegal or any of that stuff, but we'll do that in the future.
Actually, just tell everybody to come up to Harvey's Point in Donegal this
right
summer, and that's all you need to say.
Good luck, Noel. Mind yourself. See you. Bye.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.